It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Adam Candy with us. He's the company. On this Thursday. Good conversation to close out the 4 o'clock hour with our pal Scott Seidenberg. Every day, our Eye on Sports Gambling is brought to you by our friends at Jackson's Bar and Grill. Honored for having a top value steak in Vegas, Jackson's Bar and Grill. Great spot to hang out pregame, postgame. Headquarters for any sports action on the Strip or really any event. It's also a wonderful spot to watch Vegas Golden Knights games. Games coming up this weekend. You can get in there, watch the games, also play. If you're a gamer, Pass the Puck is awesome. You can win up to $500 in free play at Jackson's Bar and Grill. But the steaks are where it's at. 1 pound ribeye, just $22. Garlic marinated bistro filet, also $22. You get a veggie of the day and your choice of 7 different sides. Great steaks for just $22. And if you don't want a steak, they got a full menu, great breakfast as well. It's 6020 West Flamingo. Get in there. Chef Lonnie's in there cutting up the steaks every morning, getting them ready for you. Jackson's Bar and Grill on Flamingo and Jones. So, Candy, I was at a Mountain West Conference Media Day earlier today. Talked to a bunch of the coaches. That was really cool. We're going to have conversations coming up in a little bit with Josh Pastner, who is a great interview. We talked a lot about the first exhibition game against Washington and his roster as it's trying to get a little healthier. I will tell you, Jared Calhoun is quickly becoming one of my favorite coaches because he gives no Fs. He speaks very honestly. Utah State has stepped in this one. They have made a wonderful hire. I don't even know if he's like a traditional Utah State sounding coach, but hell, they retained him. They got a budget. He's got a confident attitude. He's good. And for those folks, hope you can hold on to him because I think he's a guy who is perfect for the region he's from. He's a Cleveland guy, worked a lot at West Virginia. I could see him being in the Big East in a couple of years. Well, his conversation's coming up here in less than 10 minutes. But story of the day is the NBA betting scandal, the poker scandal, which actually the more significant one in the FBI documents is probably the poker scandal. Can you explain the difference between the two? And is my statement correct that the NBA thing is pretty significant, but this poker scandal is freaking outrageous?
Yeah, if you really get into reading the two separate indictments, and let's be clear, there are two separate sets of charges here. The poker one is absolutely wild. It involves way more money. It involves way more crime. It involves the mafia. It is a TV movie waiting to be made. That is a crazy, crazy set of charges. The sports betting one, there is a little bit of overlap with some of the people who are involved, including Chauncey Billups, who is way more involved in the poker thing than he is in the sports betting thing. But for the most part, these are two separate things in terms of Terry Rozier, who is largely the primary person in the sports betting one for those purposes. On the other side of the poker thing, yeah, Chauncey Billups was more being used as what they were terming in the investigation, a face card, a celebrity to get their marks into the games.
That said, from a PR standpoint, the NBA thing is going to catch a lot more attention. And it's a disaster. Yeah, I'll say it's a disastrous PR deal here for Adam Silver because David Stern handed him a league that already had suspicions because, frankly, David Stern did what David Stern would do. Rest in peace. He assumed most people were stupid and that, hey, if he said it was over, it was over. We know that he fibbed a lot during the official scandal. Many casual NBA fans haven't forgotten about that. And this is such a bad look for a league that I think of all the leagues has to hear whispers all the time. Like, oh, I don't know, you know, the big organizations, you know, they get all the breaks and the refereeing and they better look into that. And you hear it all the time from especially casual NBA fans.
Look, most casual fans, most people who don't know anything about the league are going to just see the headline, Billups and Rozier involved in illegal gambling. And they're going to think that this is all about sports betting and what's happened to the league because of Adam Silver, not only being the commissioner of the league when this happened, but remember, before PASPA, the federal law that prevented sports betting outside Nevada, before that was taken down in 2018, Adam Silver was at the forefront writing a New York Times op-ed before that saying that we needed to legalize gambling. And again, you heard me say earlier in the show, if you were here, I don't think legalized gambling and the professional sports league's relationship with them is the problem that it gets made out to be. But when it comes to perception, yeah, it's bad.
Okay. Billups in the headlines. Terry Rozier in the headlines. Is there something going on with Maverick Carter, who, of course, is very tied at the hip attached to LeBron James?
Well, not directly to this situation, but this is something I brought up because you can't turn on TV right now without seeing a DraftKings ad with Kevin Hart in it. By the way, you can't turn on any ad without seeing Kevin Hart in it. Shout out to his agent. They think Kevin Hart can pitch. It doesn't matter. Is it your Chase card? Is it your Verizon phone? He can pitch anything.
I gotta break in for a second. I watch commercials, and listen, I don't like saying this as someone who's on radio. We run commercials. And for me, it does take sometimes like 10, 15, 25 times watching something to realize what the commercial is for. Are the Kevin Hart LeBron commercials, the one where LeBron doesn't talk and just gets cracked on, is that for a book, or what's it for? Do you know? I don't even know what the theme is for the DK commercials.
Well, they are trying to make it more about football, right? The whole idea when LeBron started doing these ads was he would pitch more about football than about basketball and try to keep some sort of distance in there. Well, let me tell you what, if there ever was any distance between LeBron and sports betting, there's none left. And that's where we start getting into talking about Maverick Carter. So reading the indictment today, Damon Jones, former assistant coach, former player in the league. I'm going to read to you directly from the indictment. Damon Jones, on February 9th, 2023, 2 days after LeBron James broke the NBA scoring record, Damon Jones sent a text message to someone referred to as Co-Conspirator 9, writing, quote, "Get a big bet on Milwaukee tonight before the information is out. Redacted player is out tonight. Bet enough so D. Jones can eat two now." Not a lot of mystery left in there. He was referring to LeBron James being out of a game and telling someone to get in to get bets down on that based on that inside information. I am not saying that LeBron knew about that, but I am also saying that take that information and take the fact that Maverick Carter, his business partner, one of his closest advisors, it came out in the same year, in 2023. It came out that he had been interviewed as part of the investigation into Wayne Nix, the bookie from Southern California, who was taken down in a multi-million dollar illegal betting ring. And Mav Carter admitted to placing at least 20 wagers between $5,000 and $10,000 with Wayne Nix. He said he, quote, "could not remember placing bets on any Lakers games." Could not remember is always the parlance of people who don't want to tell you what's actually going on. So I have a problem in terms of perception with LeBron James still having a deal with DraftKings. It's too close. It's the face of the league. It's the face of sports. And I'm the one up here saying I don't think it's a problem overall. But there comes a point where a line has been crossed. Would you feel okay if Shohei Ohtani had a deal with FanDuel? Would you feel okay with that? After what his closest person to him, his interpreter, was caught up in a federal betting investigation. He was cleared, was Shohei Ohtani, by MLB. No one is suggesting that LeBron James is involved in any illegal betting. But it would look terrible if it were Ohtani, and we wouldn't be silent about it, and we shouldn't be silent about LeBron having a DraftKings deal.
364-1100, 364-1100. Let's give away some tickets for UNLV football coming up in two Saturdays. New Mexico's in town. It's at the Owl. You can get your tickets at unlvtickets.com, unlvtickets.com. Caller 7, 364-1100, 364-1100. Mountain West Conference basketball, media day today. A lot of good conversations, a lot of open discussion, discourse about where college basketball is right now, what's going on with the money, what's going on with NIL, what kind of limits there are on who can actually play college basketball. And a guy who's brutally honest and a damn good coach is Jared Calhoun at Utah State. And the preseason polls came out. Mountain West second place pick for Utah State. One of their players, Fosslev, is one of the all Mountain West Conference preseason player selections, and started off this part of the conversation with Jared Calhoun just talking about the preseason poll and what he thought. Does he care?
I just found out probably an hour and a half ago. Do I care? No, not really. You know, last year I asked this and nobody can answer. Who picks it? Like, I know it's the media, but which media members?
Uh-oh.
I have no idea.
I did.
You had a vote?
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't know
how
where I voted.
How many people vote on it?
You know, I'm not sure. I think two a market.
It's usually two per market.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that helps. Yeah, that helps me understand the poll better.
And I don't know how they choose those two.
But, like, you guys don't know anything about most of these portal kids, right? Like,
Whoa. I'm very well researched.
Have you studied analytics of each guy?
I completely agree with you that a lot of it is a guessing game.
It all is.
I mean, I can read into guys. I haven't seen everyone that you've brought in. And clearly, like, San Diego State has really good players.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't put three on the top 10, but, you know, it happens. Believe me, in football, it happened. UNLV had, I think, two guys in the top 22. Boise had 10. Now they just Boise just beat them pretty badly. But because people knew the Boise players. So a lot of it's familiarity. So
it is.
A lot of the media don't know your players. I know Fosslev, though.
Yeah.
I know him. And I think I had him up there as a candidate for player of the year because he should be.
Yeah, he's good.
I forget what coach I talked to earlier. I think it was Tim Miles was talking about Fosslev and his competitiveness. And he's like, said, I'm watching him walk, and he's like walking in front of people. Like, he's like, that's how competitive he is.
He's
always got
an
that step.
Guy. Yeah, he and I's personality match. We like to compete. And he's just a kid that he doesn't want to lose. You know, there's losing is not an option for him.
It seems like those are the type of guys you want to bring in. How much of that can you determine in recruiting, and how much do you not know until you actually have a guy with you?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've been pretty fortunate over about a 3 to 4 year run here with this new portal and NIL and now rev share. It's just crazy times, right? There's been a lot of coaches, the trajectory of their programs, you know, really go down because they can't adapt and they can't identify the right pieces. You know, we've been pretty fortunate to get competitive guys that buy into winning. And I think, you know, half the reason we're picked second is probably because we have five returning players that won 26 games. You know, hopefully they'll come back with a little bit nastierness to them and attack every day, which most of them have. So you want to keep getting guys that really buy into winning, right? Because that's why we play, right? I mean, it's not about, you know, any other thing, but there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. Let's try to win more than we can lose.
You talk about us, you know, in the media trying to guess what teams are going to look like, right? We're trying to make a poll, like, do this. How tough is it for you guys to know? I guess it doesn't really matter where you shape up in the conference until you actually take the floor and have to scout the guys. But as you're kind of analyzing, is it tough to know who's going to be good, who's not?
Yeah, I mean, I know most of these kids, you know, in the portal. You know, college basketball's a little smaller community than you think. You know, the problem is most media members are covering two sports.
Yeah, true.
You know, so, like, how much time do they really spend on, you know, breaking down and watching kids' tapes and those sorts of things? So that's why you say, like, how much stock do you put in a poll? You really can't put much in this, nor does it matter. What matters is hoop starts in 2 weeks. I love the media. I love you guys. I think you guys have a very selfless job. I think you got deadlines you got to make. You got narratives you got to try to create. You got teams you got to try to cover. This league's media has been awesome. And I think the biggest thing I take is I better get my team ready to play after this because there's a lot of hype about the Aggies.
Well, first of all, I was not defending the media. I think most of the media are idiots, and I'll include myself in that.
Not you guys.
I guess my point is more
not you guys.
And I know you know the players individually. You know who all these guys are, who's ending up. But you don't know how. Nobody knows how they're going to come together, right? And that's what matters in the end.
That's what leadership is, right? I mean, that's what it's the coach's job. It's the player's job, right? It's a group effort, not only to retain players or recruit players, but at the end of the day, this will be the hardest year in the history of the Mountain West to get multiple bids. Now, why would I say that? Because the power conferences all have spent between $10 and $20 million to coach or to put a team together. We don't have those resources. Now, it's going to end after this year because there's supposed to be true revenue sharing. But you go up against the rest of the country where we're spending $2.5 million and they're spending $15 million, that's a pretty significant difference, right? Last year, the Aggies spent $830,000 or whatever it was. We were one of the lowest at-large bid teams in America. Ohio State spent millions of dollars, did not get in. Indiana, a blue blood, spent millions of dollars, did not get in. So just because you spend the money doesn't mean you're going to have the greatest team, but it's going to give you a big jump start because you got real talent, but now you got to be able to coach them and the kids got to mesh in.
Jared Calhoun, Utah State, is up with us here on ESPN Las Vegas. Do you think that all of this stuff should be out in the public? Like, I know you've talked about FOIA requests, right?
As far as what?
Just the information on the players. I'm not that comfortable with it in terms of what they're getting paid.
You mean the money side?
Yes, because I think the athletes are,
we have buyouts, and, you know, like, the players have, you know, contracts have buyouts. I don't think it's that big a deal anymore. I think this is a true business model. It's pay for play. You know, it's how good you are is, you know, the money you get, right? And if you're at a program and you play better, you're probably going to keep getting more money. And it'll come to a point, just like coaching, where they can't afford to keep you. And that player goes elsewhere, right? We had one happen this year. Our point guard from last year, our starter, Dayton Alberry, he got three times at New Mexico what we offered. Well, God bless him. I love Dayton Alberry. That's a lot of money. We couldn't afford him. So he's a Lobo. And Eric's a great coach, and he'll probably have a great year. But You gotta, you know, juggle the money you have. You know, I don't know why everybody doesn't talk about it.
Let me jump in for a second. Yeah. From the athlete standpoint, because I'm very big on this, I think it would be more on the up and up if this was collectively bargained.
Yeah,
a lot of coaches are against that, but wouldn't it be more transparency?
I think the more transparency there is in our sport, the better. I think that's why we've won. That's why we get good relationships with our guys, is we've been pretty honest with players, and you know, whether it's about playing time, a role, now it's money, whatever the case may be, have open dialogue.
Does it become difficult as a coach? And I don't think it for you guys. You talked about the money is not the same as it is as a big program, but at some point you can have a guy who's making more than another guy, and you're just like, well, I just beat him out for my job, mm-hmm. for his job. Why are you paying him? Like, pay me.
Yeah.
That can happen for a coach.
Oh, yeah. There's real locker room issues. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the real world. I mean, there's people in the business world that are better than the guy to the right or left, and they're not, you know what I mean? I'm sure. Hell, you might think you're better than him, and maybe he makes more than you. I mean, I don't know how this is, but to me, you have to.
Opening wounds.
In today's world, you gotta just lay it out there. And we talk about problems that could arise, and we don't talk about it. Once the contracts are done, it is what it is. Now, we can renegotiate after about three games. I can go right to a player and offer them for next year. You know, for next year's, you know, my goal would be to try to sign everybody by December 31st for the following year, right? I want those contracts in and stay ahead of it so these Power Fours can't steal all my players.
This is so crazy. And you were talking about this at, I remember during the Mountain West Conference tournament about, you know, allocations and trying to get bigs. And I want to stay on this path in a second.
The bigs, you know, everybody in Logan wants these 7-footers. Right. And I said, you know, you're going to have to go in your backyard and dig up some money because those 7-footers are a lot of money.
Tell me about your bigs. So you bring in Clark.
I love Zach Keller, I think, from the University of Utah. I think he's an underrated kid. He's waiting to bust out, have a good year. Played 15, 16 minutes a game in the Big 12, was a backup for Craig Smith, which is a wonderful coach. Gary Clark, I think, is really, really good from Corpus Christi. 16-8 last year. He's 6'7", 6'5", 6'7". Plays much bigger, though. So you have those two that are transfers. David Owizi was a freshman, and then Carson Templin's a returning guy. We'll do it by committee. Those four kids are all versatile. They're all pretty good.
Big in size, height-wise, how do you get a kid from Paul the Sixth to come out to Logan?
You know, great question. A kid on my staff named Max Bent coached his brother. I think Adlin Alamine is the most talented freshman in the league. I would be shocked to see somebody 6'10 that can make threes, that can sit down and guard – Did not start on his high school team. Probably one of the biggest kept secrets in the country.
Wow. So you got him on the wing, and then Tucker Anderson, who just needs consistency. Because every time I see him, I'm like, how is this kid this tall?
He had a great first game. He had like 11-2 or 11-3. He's gained 20, 25 pounds. Ooh. Tuck's a guy that could be a game changer. You know, last year he had a ton of open looks. He had a bad shooting year. He could have took his ball and went home like 80% of kids do. Hey, I transfer in. I have a bad year. Peace, coach. I'm leaving. Let me go get another check somewhere else. He found the weight room. He found our restaurants in town, and he gained 20 pounds. And I think he's going to have a great year. I think he's a good player.
What is it about Utah State? Through different coaches, different administrations, it just keeps rolling somehow. Why is that the case?
I mean, I think we have some, we've had some incredible coaches, but we've had incredible players. You know, the fan base is very real. The home environment is real. It's one of the best on the West Coast, if not the best in America. There's not a better student section in the country. Yeah. There's certainly not a better student section in our league. I don't care what anybody says. It's not close, right? The Pitt is very real. Viejas is very real. Boise State. But nobody has the students, right? This is every week in every sport. You go to men's or women's soccer, we set a school record. You go to volleyball, it's packed. It's a real environment. Football, we had 22,000 there the other night. I mean, it's the real deal.
I'm going to bring up your brother played at Yale. So yeah. Adam's brother Josh played at Yale. He was 6'8", 240. And every opposing fan base
hated him.
Wow. You have a guy, I'm not going to use the word hate, but you mentioned Templin.
Yeah.
For the opposing teams and the opposing fan bases, he's one of those guys you want. But
yeah,
my God, I'll use the white guy term, the glue guy. But he really is one of those guys who does a little bit of everything.
You know, he's like your undersized big that just will hit you in the mouth. He'll set an illegal screen. He'll climb over your back. He'll spit on you. Breathe on you. No, I think he's going to have a really good year. He's expanded his range. He's understanding the game better. He's just a great kid, you know. Turned down a lot of money. People really valued him in the portal because of his toughness. So he really wanted to be at Utah State, which, you know, showed me a lot.
Yeah, I want to go back to the stuff we were talking about earlier, just in terms of how much the recruiting and stuff have changed. Just from your perspective, you are a basketball coach. You signed up to coach basketball.
Yep.
The job has changed a lot. I mean, I think the key to probably having success is to just embracing it and going with, hey, this is what we do now.
Yep.
But is there ever a time where you're like, I just want to coach basketball? Like, that's what I want to say.
I mean, I get like that usually, like, at the end of the summer. I get very depressed because I've had, like, you know, 75 lunches or dinners or, you know, I miss my daughter's games or whatever the case may be, because you're just literally out asking people for money. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's like, am I a fundraiser? Am I, you know, like a salesman for the university? Like, what is my calling here? But I think every job that you're at, there's challenges, right? And I think the jobs right now that are, you know, high level are the ones you can just sit back in your desk in your practice court and coach basketball. But, Adam, those are few and far between. That's not in this conference. These coaches got to get out. We got to fundraise, and we got to beat the bushes and try to get some money.
By the way, I love that the description, because a lot of coaches haven't embraced that yet, that the job's changed.
Yeah.
And guess what? The job's changed for all of us.
Yeah.
You know what? I like doing video and social media. Do I want it to be my entire job? It is. But guess what? You want a job? You want to work? Adam, you want to work? You want a newspaper doing real well?
That's right.
You got to do different stuff now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different.
And I will close out by saying, and this is not a pat on the back, but I'm going to pat myself on the back. When I was doing the voting in the media poll, I was actually on vacation in New Orleans, and I'm like, damn it, I'm up against the deadline. And I wish I had video to watch all your guys, but yeah. I tried to do some research. There is a responsibility by us to not be horses' asses and just freaking throw out willy nilly predictions. Because
people
do
read it. What do you think
about the Rebels? Ooh, that's a good one.
So many injuries right now.
We're in Vegas, yeah. Right? I mean, I think they're kind of.
You stump me. I do a local talk show, and I'm like, I don't have anything to say. No, I think they have a lot of upside. They have to get healthy.
I really like the point guard they brought in. I think he has a chance to be one of the newcomers of the year.
Yeah.
We were just talking about one of their freshmen, Tyron Jones, I think is a, like your guy, a high-level guy, 6'9", 6'10",
wow.
Skilled. But it's got to come together. He's got a whole new team like yeah. a lot of schools do.
Hey, so. It did for Dan Mullen. He's doing pretty well.
It's pretty amazing, actually, what UNLV football is doing.
Don't say that. Fans are angry right now coming off the first loss.
Well, they're all unrealistic. The reality is if you would have asked all these fans out here in Las Vegas, we just hired Dan Mullen. We're 6-1, right?
Yep.
Would you have taken that? I mean, come
of
on.
Of course.
But everybody's – it's just unrealistic world we live in now. But that comes with the territory.
We're crazy. All right, Coach, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Jared Calhoun. Brutal honesty, man. We're going to play some of that interview back tomorrow to break down different parts of it. But when he started talking about New Mexico stealing one of his players for triple the money or started calling out by name major programs that had this expenditure and didn't make the tournament, I'm like, that's one, it's honest. One, it's assessing what's going on around college basketball. Two, it's kind of taking shots at people, which I guess Jared Calhoun does not care. Coming up, we're going to talk to Josh Pastner, the UNLV head coach of the Run Rebels. We talked to him at Mountain West Conference Media Day, which went down on the Strip. But let's do a giveaway. Speaking of the Strip, T-Mobile Arena, events right around the corner. Camping World PBR Team Championships. You can get your tickets at AXS.com. We got a pair of tickets to the Camping World PBR Team Championships. Again, the 24th through the 26th. T-Mobile Arena will take caller 7 right now, 364-1100, 364-1100 for PBR tickets. Pastner on the way.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Less than a minute away from our conversation with Run Rebels head coach Josh Pastner as we were at Mountain West Conference Media Day today. Our coverage was brought to you by our friends over at the Westgate, the Superbook. We are live there on both Saturday and Sunday mornings with football shows. Saturday, JVT, Saturday football preview, 8 to 9 at Westgate in the Superbook. And then Sunday, I'll be there with the Sunday football preview show. That starts at 8 o'clock. Football Central goes down on Sundays. They open up the International Theater, and what's called a ballroom, International Theater. 1,500 seats, smoke-free environment, betting windows right there, full bar, great food items as well. In the morning, you can get the bacon, egg, and cheese, sausage, egg, and cheese, breakfast burrito. In the afternoon, chicken tenders, chips and salsa, street tacos, chicken tinga, beef birria. And then on Monday and Thursday night football, dollar beers, $2 hot dogs. So guess what? Tonight's Thursday. Get on over to the Westgate, the Superbook, and check out some Thursday night football as the Chargers and Vikings are off and running. That's the Westgate on both Saturday and Sunday mornings right here on ESPN Las Vegas. So sitting down with Josh Pastner, kind of fresh off first exhibition game against Washington. We get into that a little bit. Just really wanted to get into his welcome into the Mountain West Conference, being around these coaches. And we started off this part of the convo with Josh Pastner, just asking what he thinks or what he thought today of Mountain West Conference Media Day and the setting.
It's a home game for us because we get to sleep in our own bed and get here in the morning. So it's pretty cool. What I would tell you though, Steve, is that there's no doubt that UNLV has the biggest following of anybody in this league, media-wise, which is I don't take for granted. I think how important it is. Now, does that add a little pressure on some things? Absolutely, but so be it. I think it's a great thing. Excited about being here for the Mountain West Media Day, and looking forward. That means when you get to Media Day, that means season's right around the corner.
You just so happened to look over, and it was Steve Alford and Reno up on the dais, so that kind of played into that pretty well, that there's a small media throng.
I noticed that. You should be doing this. Yeah.
This is what UNLV fans want. Yeah.
But I also want to be transparent. I just happened to look over there, so it happened. So it was a good timing I said that. But there is no doubt, it's not only for Reno, it's for the rest of the league. Nobody touches UNLV, the following that we have here, and so that's a big deal.
We've talked a lot about, you know, you coming back and jumping back into this from our world, you know, media world, back into coaching. I'm interested because the rules change not every day, change every hour at this point. You had a couple of years to kind of see the big picture, right? So you didn't have to adjust every single day to what was going on. Does that help you kind of, that you were able to see where these rules were going and kind of jump back into this in that way?
Yeah, what I would tell you is this. Yes, I was able to evaluate some of that. But right now, and I just told this to Nate Pomaday from the NABCs here, and I told this to a couple other people. I said, hey, look, there's two things that need to be done. Because everyone's talking about the transfer portal, the NIL. Like, just forget all that. Like, the windows. I know football just went to a 15-day window or something like that. I'm like, we got to move on from that stuff. Like, this is here. This is here to stay. Let's just move. What we've got to come up with is two things. What's the expiration date of college players? You can't be Steve's age and be playing college basketball. You know, he's just not.
I was actually really excited to see the G League players coming into college basketball. Then I saw Tom Izzo flipping out. I mean, and I'm like, yeah, there has to be a window.
Yeah, like at some point there's got to be. When I say an expiration date, like, you can't be 26, 27, 28 be playing. I mean, you just can't. So that's one. They've got to define that. And two, they got to define the rules of who can you recruit. So can you recruit G League guys, which we've jumped in on? Can you recruit NBA guys who got drafted and maybe were a flame out in the last couple of years? Can you go back and try to get them to come to college? We're doing our own digging, trying to get guys like that. Because what I'm saying, anyone that has a connection to Las Vegas, maybe they have a parent that lives here or somebody, let's try to get these guys here. So, but again, are you recruiting guys from Europe that are playing professional leagues? The same thing as a G League. So it's not defined on what is a pro, what's not a pro, who can you recruit. And right now it's just basically saying, I mean, technically you could recruit an NBA guy. The kid that, I can't say his name because of the rules, but the kid that Louisville just got committed, when I was at Georgia Tech, not my last year, but some years before that, he was on my campus 15 times. He's from Atlanta. I was trying to recruit him, and that's what I'm saying. It's not clearly defined, and that's the problem right now.
We talked about this a little bit, you know, when you had your session earlier, but just for the audience here, how receptive have you found the community to you trying to pitch, hey, UNLV's back, we're tying back, bringing back former players on the coaching staff, you want to tie into the community again, you want to get people back in the Thomas and Mack. Has the community been receptive so far to that?
The community's been great. As I mentioned to you, Adam, that there's been a lot of, I haven't turned down any interview. I haven't turned down any speaking engagement. I've been everywhere. I've tried to get the message out. I have been on the grassroots level. I've given my email out. I've responded to everybody. I've tried to re-energize the best of my ability. But I have gotten great reception and feedback from most. Now, there's a section that will say, hey, coach, we're more in the wait-and-see approach. You know, and if things are going well, we'll come and be in Thomas and Mack, or possibly donate to your NIL or whatever it may be, but we want to see the product on the floor first. And so there's that section too, and I get it. But I'd also tell people that, hey, look, it's kind of like what came first, the chicken or the egg. And I get it that people might want to see it. Well, we need to get people in there to help us get over the hump, because in this league, you have great home court advantages. And back in the day, obviously, UNLV was the premier of that. It hasn't been like that in a while. And so how do we get that back? We need to get that back. It's not a snap of the finger overnight. Just one day it just happens. It's a gradual build. But we've got to get the excitement there and the enthusiasm to get back in the arena.
Josh Pastner on ESPN Las Vegas. I talked to you about 10 days ago. You were a little miffed after practice, yelling at the team. The Dribbling Rebels, Washington game offensively. Were you better?
We were better. Here's where Steve. We need to be even better offensively moving the ball. There were some things we did well against Washington. Look, we were banged up, obviously, and we were just outmanned inside there just based on size-wise. But I don't want us to be the Dribbling Rebels. The ball has to move. It has to move. The thing's got to play fast. We've got to be pace, pace, pace. That doesn't mean it's got to be wild basketball and unsound and we're just playing crazy basketball. But it's got to be the way we move it. And I thought a couple times it held a little bit too long than I wanted to. We weren't getting enough downhill traction into the paint. We played a little bit more east and west, not enough north and south. But see, that's why we had that first exhibition game. Part of the issue is, when you're playing against each other since June, you know, and you're going against, sometimes it can look one way and you're like, okay, you're really doing good on this side of the ball and not so good on this other side, or vice versa. The great thing about the game, it exposed some things that we had to clean up in a hurry, and that will be cleaned up and we're already started working on. But I thought there were some positives that we did, but still, we have a long way to go to get to the vision that I have and where the fan base wants the Reading Rebels to be.
What did you think of Gibbs Lawhorn running the team?
That was his first time playing point guard. Obviously, Miles Shays would be our point guard, and that's why I recruited him. He should be back here sooner than later. I don't know exact timetable, but we're getting closer. But I thought for a first game out as a point guard, I thought he did some good things. But there were some learning curves as well, too. He had four turnovers. Now, I thought a positive was for us, we only had 11 total turnovers, and I thought two of the turnovers were bad calls. So we were really looking at about nine. So taking care of the ball was really important for us. And but Dre's got to, you know, being at the point guard spot, he's got to be, until Miles gets back, he's got, and he's going to play some point even no matter what. He's got to be a floor general out there, and he can't have four turnovers. That's a big thing. He can score the ball, obviously, but I think him just getting into a flow and understanding and playing point guard against another team was a good experience for him.
The kid, Hannah Steinberg, was good. He's a really good player.
He's really good, and they paid a lot of money, which is, again, nothing against it. They're deservedly so. He's a pro. And that's what it, you know, you look at like something like that, he's really good, and that's, and he was a pro in Germany, and they paid him the money to come here to Washington, to go to Washington, and he's going to be probably a pro in the NBA at some point.
Dembele and Jones, you think both back for Lincoln this Tuesday?
I don't know if Dembele Lodgy will be back. I would like to get Tyron a few minutes in there just so he gets his anxiety out, and I would like to try to get Isaac Williamson in there as well, too, but to be determined. Unfortunately, as the head coach, there's two areas that I know that I cannot meddle in: academics and medical. That's the quickest way to lose your job if you try to meddle in those two areas. So I got to follow whatever the, you know, even though I'm like, let's get them back. Can't they? They look good. They're practicing. Let's get them on. But whatever the medical says, I got to follow. Whatever academics says, I got to follow.
I'm not exactly sure what position Jones plays. I do know this. He seems to be growing an inch like every month because he looks like he's pushing 7 feet tall. Would he have helped inside in terms of rim protection?
We might have won the game. I mean, it would have been a different game. I mean, he's just a different player. And he needs to play some. He's only going to get better every time. Every time he steps on the floor, he's a different dude. And I don't like throwing out the word NBA guys. His NBA potential as a prospect down the road is very, very high. He's just scratching the surface. He's literally just scratching the surface. He's only going to get better every time he steps on the floor. I'm beyond excited about him. That being said, his best basketball is when we get in December, because I'm going to have to let him play through some mistakes in November, because it's going to be some ups and downs with being a young guy. But when he gets to December, he's going to take off.
I thought Naz Cunningham showed some potential. I mean, I think it has to be in the flow of the offense, but his ability to create is something that most guys don't have.
No, well, look, and for Naz, he hasn't played in over a year. He was a redshirt at Alabama last year, so it was his first game. I mean, he had first game jitters, and that was part of that. And so there's some things within the offense that we got to help clean up to get better for him, too, so he can get more downhill. I thought at times he played on the perimeter east and west. We got to continue to get downhill with him. But he's a very smart player, high IQ. He's 6'8 and long. As long as he keeps his motor up, he's got a chance to be really talented as well with us.
You mentioned several guys already. Is there a guy that you think the fans are just going to embrace, that they're just going to love when they come out to Thomas and Mack?
You know what? I think they're going to like all of our team. But, you know, you look at guys like an Isaac Williamson, who, he's a freshman, because I'm a big talker about 50-50 balls. Isaac Williamson's a 90-10 guy. he wins 90% of the loose ball. He will dive head first and everywhere you need to on the floor. So I think the fans base will enjoy their team, their program. Look, I want to win forget about every game. I want to win every possession. I coach every possession like it's do or die, you know. And if you saw me on the sidelines, it's do or die every possession. That being said, look, we're not going to control every game of whether we shoot well or not, but our competitive excellence has to be on point. And I think the fan base needs to see that. And they need to know that, and they need to see that their team, their program plays with a tremendous amount of appreciation.
One of the problems, though, you come out to the game, you got to pay to park.
It sucks. You don't.
What?
There is free parking at Thomas and Mack. This is UNLVtickets.com. Get your tickets, free parking. You know how it is. You can go to different places, and if you got to pay for parking, you don't want to go. Free parking. Email me if you want, joshua.pastner@unlv.edu. I check my own emails. If you don't get a response back, you didn't send it to me. If you need to, hey, coach, I want to get tickets, I'll get you to the right person. Or if you just want, I want you to be emotionally invested in your program, joshua.pastner@unlv.edu. I'll answer. If you say, coach, why are we playing this zone defense? What did you do on this out of? Why did you sub? This is your program.
Oh, no.
You have every right to ask. No. I'll answer. I don't know how timely I can get it back, but I will answer.
Coach, we appreciate it. Have fun rest of the day.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Dangerous game, Josh Pastner. Stop giving out your email. And, of course, Adam Hill, I knew as soon as he mentioned the parking, he had this dopey smirk
on his face. Good job by Adam, by the way, sitting on a bunch of the interviews out at Mount One's Conference Media Day. But Pastner's been a lunatic about the parking's free, right? I mean, it is. That is a hot-button issue around Vegas where parking is not free for nearly anything. So you can get your UNLV tickets at unlvtickets.com. They've got an exhibition game in front of the home crowd next week against Lincoln. That's on Tuesday. And then the opener is on the 4th of November. That is against UT Martin. Again, unlvtickets.com is where you can get your tickets for the Thomas and Mack. And the Rebels have a real aggressive non-con schedule. Pastner, so far, man, super likable guy. I mean, he's good. Speaking of likable or not likable, man, we got to get to an NFL coach. I don't know what the problem is with this guy. And you know what? Listen, I'm obnoxious, so I can be unlikable. But, man, when is this guy going to get it, or is this just his brand?
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield, Adam Candy is the company, ESPN Las Vegas. Grab bag time. Bunch of games to track. First of all, Thursday night football. Chargers out to a 7-0 start. Herbert to Aronde Gadsden the second 8-yard touchdown. So Chargers up on the Vikings 7-0. Candy, why does it seem some organizations have such an easy time dipping into the middle rounds of the NFL draft and finding weapons? Gadsden, I remember him from last year because he was here at Allegiant Stadium, and yikes, he freaking torched the Rebels for 10 catches and 143 yards. I didn't look that up. I remember that number. He's out to this really good start. He's a fifth-round pick, and he looks like the second coming of freaking Antonio Gates.
Looks like the second coming of his dad. Like, that's the hard part. Like, I saw Aronde Gadsden's name in the box score last week, and I thought, wait, what? There's no way he's still in the league. Yeah. And then I realized it was his kid, and I felt the Grim Reaper's cold hand on my shoulder saying, you're so old.
Dad was born in 1971, so he is around my age, a little bit younger. But, yeah, the kid is good, and he's turned into a real weapon. And we know from talking to our favorite football insider, Caleb Herring, for quarterbacks, the safety blanket can be the tight end. And if Herbert has a great tight end, whew, they're dangerous. But 7-0 at the end of one. But we know the Chargers might charger it, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way. In the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
I don't really like Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I get him. He's a win-at-all-cost guy. He absolutely was a dirtbag at Michigan. It worked. What the hell, in the end, what's the difference? The penalty doesn't mean anything. So, yeah, cheat your ass off. Spy. There's no real penalty. I don't trust him. Because he's duplicitous. Sean Payton's pretty upfront about who he is. And sometimes when you hear him, you're like, bruh, why? Why?
How difficult is it in the year 2025, Steve Cofield, to make Russell Wilson look like the victim in a situation? We've all, as a society, collectively decided, take your corny ass to the bench and stay there. And yet somehow, when Sean Payton goes taking not very veiled shots at him after that game last week, talking about how he had been talking to the Giants ownership and saying that he wished that Jackson Dart had not been starting until after they played the Broncos, he tried to then walk it back and say, oh, no. I wasn't saying anything about Russell Wilson after Russell called him classless on social and came out and referenced Bountygate. Why is it that Sean Payton needs to be this guy? Like, we remember him screaming at Russ on the sidelines and then cutting him and eating a whole bunch of money. Why can't you just leave it alone? It's over. He's gone. And somehow you're enough of a jackass that you make Russell Wilson look like the good guy? Please.
We're going to go in the bag. I know we are.
Stick your hand in there.
There it is.
Stick your hand there, dude.
Less than a minute left. There is a screen cap of an ESPN header that says, NCAA allows athletes and athletic department staff members to bet on pro sports starting on November 1st. A Miss LaToya Lee says, this is actually insane. No, it's not. Candy?
Not at all. Listen. There's still going to be penalties if they bet on their own games, if they bet on college, if they're betting underage, et cetera, et cetera. But you are making it this much easier to catch if they are betting on professional sports that have nothing to do with the games that they are playing in. Yes, they might know people playing in the games if they used to play with them. That is entirely possible. But once again, Iowa, Iowa State, go down the line, you can find all of these examples of the legal market catching college kids doing dumb things.
Candy, good job, man. Talk to you tomorrow. Adam Candy will be with me at Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sports Bar, as we do our Football Fridays at the TI. Awesome menu, great giveaways, 10A to 6P, happy hour, $5 on the draft beers. Treasure Island.